A blessed Christmas to you from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know if you noticed the title of the sermon today. That's not a typo. The title really is Away in a Manger. You see, even though this time of year rightly focuses on that sweet little baby who was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger, the one who was laid there is also the magnificent manager of all life and eternity. The Apostle John suggests this when he writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Long ago, in a manger in Judea, there was more going on than just the cries of a newborn infant. The one in the manger was the one who managed all of creation and was sent to manage new life through his death and turn our sorrow into joy. That holy manager took on the frailties of being fully human and chose to live in the strangeness of our world. He came to us. He chose to love us, despite the fact that we often can't even love ourselves. Peter writes in his first epistle, "Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world." And Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who chose us in him before the foundation of the world." That tells us that a conference took place before the universe even existed. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit mapped out a strategy to rescue humanity from itself. What a blessing that we have such a loving, compassionate, and visionary manager that he would take care of all of our needs even before those needs arose. And Jesus, the one born in that stable, did more than simply manage it. He carried out that divine plan to perfection. You know, you may remember that baby Moses, his adventure began when he was placed in a cradle of sorts, made of reeds, and sent sailing on the Nile. His mother did that in order to prevent his death by Pharaoh. Well, Jesus also embarked on a mission as his mother laid him in a cradle, in a stable, not to prevent his death. Not to prevent his death, because he would willingly embrace his death in order to conquer death and sin for us. All of that was foreknown even before the foundation of the world. Away in that manger, long ago on a starlit night, as angels flooded the sky with light and song, Jesus was born. And he was born not just a man. He was the long-foretold Messiah, the suffering servant, the Christ of the cross. He was born to do more than simply experience what it was to be a man and to empathize with our predicament. He came to rescue us, to redeem us, to save us for eternity. From eternity, Jesus knew that there would be more than a birthday to commemorate. There would also be a death to mourn and a resurrection to celebrate. One man put it this way: "How proper it is that Christmas should follow Advent. For him who looks toward the future, the manger is situated on Golgotha, and the cross has already been raised in Bethlehem." Another man said, "Christmas without Good Friday and Easter is romance without a kiss, joy without a reason, and extravagance without a purpose." We can't truly celebrate Christmas if there's no dealing with the cross and the empty tomb. Because God came in Christ to manage that deliverance by reconciling the world to himself. In fact, death already pursued Jesus shortly after his birth. Matthew tells us that the eternal God sent a heavenly messenger to warn Jesus' earthly parents of Satan's plot to put a stop to his mission. And sadly, while Mary and Joseph escaped to Egypt, the children of Bethlehem suffered the wrath of Satan through King Herod. But that couldn't and didn't deter God's eternal plan. Throughout his life, between the crib and the cross, Jesus preached to eager crowds, healed the sick, fed the hungry, encouraged the brokenhearted, and he even raised the dead. And then he died for us. But just as so many were surprised by some of the gifts under the tree this weekend, I don't know, did anybody get a present they didn't expect? That was a question. Anybody ever raise your hand? Yeah. Somebody got it? Surprise! Oh. Just as people receive surprises on Christmas morning, Jesus had a surprise waiting for us on Easter morning. A gift when he showed death who its master fully was. And now by his grace, our death has been conquered as well. And that's what we saw just a few minutes ago, when Audrey was buried into Christ's baptism through death. She too is raised by the glory of the Father to walk in a newness of life. This takes more than a manger. It takes a truly divine manager. And throughout the year, God continues to manage our salvation. He keeps us in the faith that he gave us through his powerful means of grace. Through his very body and blood, in, with, and under the forms of bread and wine, he manages to give us the forgiveness of our sins. And through his written word, the word made flesh comes to us to strengthen us, as we're reminded again and again that he remained true to his promise to Adam and Eve to crush that serpent. There's a legend told of a businessman in ancient Judea who dealt in carved and sculpted stone. He'd received a contract from Herod the Great, to furnish decorative stone that would adorn a lavish stronghold being built 7 miles southeast of Bethlehem. This stronghold, named the Herodian, would be not only Herod's fortress, but also his tomb. That part of the legend is true. But in the legend, the stones for the Herodian were carefully selected. The capitals and the columns were carved and polished near the quarries and then carted several miles over rutted roads to the mountaintop side of the castle. A particularly gifted mason had been hired to produce the capital of a column that would stand in the most prominent place in the palace. So that mason spent long weeks intricately carving and polishing that stone for the king. But when it was time to deliver it, the workers inadvertently loaded the practice piece on which the sculptor had chiseled his designs rather than the finished one. It too was beautiful, but it was still rather rough and unfinished. Now, when the man who had the contract realized the mistake, he did nothing, assuming it would never be noticed. But the mason mourned, thinking, "My greatest work is for nothing. It was meant for a king, and now it will crumble into dust in this neglected quarry." But one day a shepherd spotted the hollowed-out capital in the now-closed quarry and thought it would be a perfect place as a watering trough for his sheep. So he moved the stone to his stable. And he couldn't believe his good fortune to have such a beautiful thing adorning such a lowly place. Over time, that handsome capital lost none of its beauty, although it lost its original purpose for the king. It was gone until one night when angels sang. A crowded inn provided no room for a young couple expecting their first child, so the innkeeper's stable boy scrubbed the old capital clean and filled it with fresh straw to serve as a temporary crib And now it finally served its purpose for the true king. That night, it supported not a royal roof, but God's royal son. It's just a story. Didn't happen, I'm sure, that way. But the manger was most assuredly made of stone. In the Holy Land, wood is scarce, while stone is plentiful and easily worked. In fact, I've been told that though you can find many stone mangers, you won't find any wooden mangers that were actually used as such. And it's also most likely that the stable they stayed in wasn't a barn, a wooden enclosure, but a cave. In fact, the Church of the Nativity, the oldest Christian church in Israel, is built over the small cave believed to be the birthplace of our Savior. The manger is mentioned 3 times in Luke's gospel, but it's the one sleeping there who came to manage God's plan of salvation. Jesus would die so that he might bring new and eternal life. The one laid in a stone manger is the bedrock, the cornerstone of our faith. He is the spiritual rock that Paul says quenched the thirst of God's people in the wilderness. And he's the one who would say, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." After Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. While the cross was made of wood, the door which covered his tomb was made of stone. But the Lord and manager of life sent that rolling away as he rose on that first Easter, bringing us the promise of everlasting life. It's fitting that the eternal Christ's earthly story begins with a stone manger and ends as a stone is rolled away to proclaim the resurrection and to be the hope of sinful people like you and me. And now I hope that when we sing "Away in a Manger" again, I hope we can be certain that the one who was in that manger truly has managed everything that was needed to free us from sin and to bring us to our heavenly home. Amen.